Tonight, we remember the death of our Lord and Savior. As we remember that, there's a few things we need to know and then a few more things we need to consider. As we think on the death of Jesus, we need to remember that his death was a willing death. His death was an obedient death. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said this, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus was not a victim. His death was a willing death. He laid his life down for sinners. Jesus' death was an obedient death. He did it in obedience to the command or charge from his Father. The Father sent the Son to come and save sinners. His death was a willing death, an obedient death. But his death was also a substitutionary death. His death was an atoning death. He died as our substitute in our place. He atoned for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. He took the punishment we deserved. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Tonight we remember the death of our Lord and Savior. And I believe the best way to remember his death is the way he told us to, by observing and partaking of the Lord's Supper. I want you to think about the Lord's Supper with me. The Lord's Supper was Jesus' last meal. It was his last meal before his crucifixion. And Mark 14, starting in verse 12, sets the scene for us. It says, "And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Jesus' last meal. It was time for the Passover. And if you remember, the Passover is a time that every year the Jewish people would meet together to celebrate this special thing. This is a special meal. The Passover meal is a special meal designed by God for them to remember the deliverance, God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. If you remember in the Exodus, God brought 10 plagues on Egypt that eventually resulted in them letting God's people go, freeing the Israelites from slavery. And after the last plague, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt, Pharaoh decided he had had enough, and he let God's people go. And according to God's his own instruction, the Israelites protected themselves from that 10th plague by killing a lamb and putting its blood on the doorpost of their homes. Then they roasted the lamb, and they ate it, along with some unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And this meal became known as the Passover meal because the angel of death passed over them. And when they had participated in the Passover meal, they would remember how God delivered his people out of slavery to Egypt. This is the scene. The Passover is at hand. And Jesus took this Passover meal, this majorly significant meal, and he transformed it into a meal with a new meaning altogether. In Mark 14, 22, if you skip on down to verse 22, it says this, "And as they were eating this Passover meal, this very significant meal, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them, and he said, 'Take this, my body. This is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Y'all, as we think on these things tonight, understand this. From this moment on, things were different. His disciples would no longer eat in remembrance of blood on the doorpost, but now they would eat this in remembrance of blood on the cross. Jesus changed this significant meal. As we think about the Passover, I'd like to just encourage you to think a little more deeply. Mark sets the scene. He says it was the first day of unleavened bread, and when they had sacrificed the Passover lamb, the disciples looked at Jesus and said, "Where would you have us go to prepare this Passover meal?" Think about this. When they had sacrificed the lamb, for generations, every year, the lamb was slain as part of the Passover meal in remembrance of how God saved them out of Egypt. Every year, the lamb was slain, the lamb was slain, the lamb was slain, reminding them of what God did for them and delivering them. Now, from the New Testament perspective, we understand not only is the Passover significant in remembering God's mighty acts in delivering them from Egypt, but it also pointed to a greater act God would do in delivering us from sin. Not salvation from slavery to Egypt, but salvation from slavery to sin. The lamb was slain. When they slain the lamb, they looked at Jesus and said, "Where are we going to eat this?" For generations, they had killed this lamb, killed this lamb, killed this lamb. And now they killed one. And then they turned and looked to the one this had been pointing to for generations and said, "Where would we prepare this for you to eat?" On the first day of unleavened bread, when they had sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare this?" They sacrificed the lamb, and then they looked, and their eyes were beholding the Lamb of God. Do you feel the weight of that? Just going through this year after year, year after year, year after year, and now we've killed this lamb. And here's the one, ultimately, that it pointed toward. A greater deliverance, a greater substitute, a greater atonement was at hand. It was literally beginning to unfold that very night, beginning with this meal. They sacrificed this lamb, business as usual, yet the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, is standing right there in their midst. With that in mind, the lamb pointing to Jesus, the bread pointing to Jesus, the wine pointing to Jesus, with all of this in mind, listen to what Jesus says again about the Lord's Supper. As they were eating this meal, this Passover meal, he took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take. This is my body. This is about me." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it, and he said to them, "This is my blood. This is all about me. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom." Jesus knew this was his last meal. And he said, "This is all about me and what I came to do for you." That night, Jesus would eat this meal, and then he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane where he would agonize in prayer. Then he would be betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. Then that night, arrested. Then rushed through a thrown together trial, through the night and early morning hours, just thrown together trial. And ultimately, the next morning, Friday morning, he would be slain. He would be crucified as our Passover lamb. From then on, causing God to pass over the sins of those who are covered by his blood. We pick up in Mark 15 and we read. Mark 15, 12, it says, "And Pilate again said to them, 'Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?' And they cried out, 'Crucify him.' And Pilate said to them, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And when they clothed him in a purple cloak, and then twisting together crowns of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' They were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. When they had mocked him and stripped him of the purple cloak, they put his own clothes back on him, and then they led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. And they divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' So also the chief priest with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, 'He saved others, he cannot even save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and then we'll believe.' And those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he's calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry, and he breathed his last. We're here tonight to remember the death of our Lord and Savior. His willing death, his obedient death, his substitutionary death, his atoning death. And the best way to do that is by partaking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a memorial that Christ himself instituted. Back then, when he changed the Passover and gave it new meaning, he was foreshadowing what he was about to do. Just in a few hours. Now, as we eat this meal tonight, we're eating it remembering what he did for us. He laid down his life to save us from our sins. And as often as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death for sinners until he comes. So the Passover was transformed into a memorial. No longer blood on doorposts, but now blood on the cross. And tonight, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I want you to consider the Old Testament. I want you to consider the Old Testament sacrificial system. I want you to consider your sin. Your sin. Are you aware of it tonight as you consider these things? Christ died for your sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Consider your sin. Are you sitting here tonight? Do you feel guilty? Are you like, it's true. I'm a sinner. Do you feel the weight of your sin? The regret of your sin? Do you wish you could remove it? Wouldn't the sacrificial system be nice? You feel that guilt. You could just go sacrifice an animal and it's done. It's dealt with. You did it. You could have closure. Why don't we do that anymore? Because of this moment right here. Because Christ died for us. When Jesus died, he was the last. He was the once for all sacrifice for sins. Past, present, future, the once for all sacrifice. We don't follow the Old Testament sacrificial system anymore because Jesus fulfilled all that it pointed to. He was the Lamb of God, the blood shed for us, the substitute, the substitutionary atonement. You feel the weight of your sin? Then understand this, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the root of true sacrifice is a broken and contrite heart. Christ died for our sins, and to be forgiven of our sin, we must recognize that our sin is against God. We must be broken over our sins and repent. That means turn from sin and self to faith in Christ, beginning to follow him. And then by faith, call on him to take away our sin, asking him to save us, to forgive us. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How? Because Christ died as your substitute. He made the payment on your behalf. Whoever will place their faith in him, whoever will receive him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. As you consider your sin, we don't look to the Old Testament lambs or the Old Testament systems. We look to our Savior. Look to Christ. Look to the Lamb of God who died for you. As we take the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to talk to those of you who are here and are lost. You're lost. You're still dead in your sins. You're still carrying your sins. You've never turned and repented, and you've never received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior by faith. Those of you who are still lost and dead in your sins, I want to speak to you. As we take the Lord's Supper, I want to ask you to consider Christ who died for you. I want you to consider his body and his blood given for you, available to you for the forgiveness of sins. As we take the Lord's Supper, if you've never received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior by faith, if you've never called on him and asked him to save you from your sins, you cannot take the Lord's Supper with us tonight. You can't take of this tonight, but you can watch. If you've not been broken over your sin, and if you've not called on him to save you and forgive you of your sin, if you've not yet believed, then his blood has not yet been applied to your sin. But it can be, if you'll call on him and ask him to. As we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, I want you who have not yet called on the Lord to save you, I want you to watch. And I want you to consider the body and the blood of Jesus given for sinners. To those of you who are here tonight, though, and you are a believer, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You prayed and you've received him as your Savior by faith, I want to encourage you as we take the Lord's Supper, look to Christ. And remember, his body and his blood has been applied to your sin. I want you to partake. I want you to remember. I want you to find rest in receiving the Lord's Supper because Christ gave his life to save sinners. Deacons and ushers, you come.